Let us take a moment, bow together in prayer. Father God, we love you and we thank you so much for the joy of knowing you, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to be able to come into this place and to be able to experience all that you have to offer, God. To be able to begin to learn more about your holy word. And God, not only to learn about it, but I pray that you would help each one of us, Father, to be so intent in learning about your word that we would obey it and carry it out in our everyday actions. I want to thank you, Father, for the ones that are in this place today who have come to be a part of this corporate worship experience. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would sweep amongst us, Lord, that you would move in a mighty and powerful way, O God. I pray, Father, through the moving of your Holy Spirit, that we would be, again, responsive to your word, Lord, that we would truly give our whole heart over to you. Lord, I thank you through the singing and the now at this moment, the teaching and preaching of your word. I pray again that it would bring honor and glory to your holy name. Father, at this time, as we enter into this time of worship together, God, I'd like to pray for those that are sick amongst us. Lord, we know that there are many family members and many friends that are part of this household, Lord, that are not able to be here due to different illnesses and sicknesses. And God, I pray that you would minister to each one of those needs as only you can. We trust you in that. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for coming and being a part with us as we have an opportunity to celebrate the love of our God together. I know that oftentimes that I make comments or reference to the amount of children that are leaving this place right now to go into children's church. But I want to say thank you to Pastor Chad. And we oftentimes recognize, again, the children. We're going to minister in light of that here in a few moments with them as far as their ministry mission as well. But I also want to say thank you to Brother Derek Garland as well and the opportunity that he has in teaching our youth. This morning I wanted to go talk to Brother Derek and was going to get up with him there for a few seconds. And when I walked in, I was, you know, being all chippery and spry this morning and was hollering out and carrying on and couldn't find him. And when I finally found him, he was in prayer. Isn't that nice? Senior pastor messing him up on his prayer time. But what a privilege it is to know that both of these men are men of God who love the Lord with all their heart. And I'm so grateful to work alongside of them. I'm grateful, again, for the ministry that they have. I want to share with you that as we get started in today's lesson, we're going to come out of James for the moment. I want to speak to you about the reality that God is love. That God is love. As we go to enter into this text here in the next few moments, what we're going to look at is not necessarily just the characteristic of God, but in light and in lieu of the fact that God is love, what I want to see is what is our responsibility to the fact that our God is love. And so if you will turn with me to 1 John chapter 4 as we begin the reading of our text there in verse 7. So again, the scripture reading will be from 1 John chapter 4. We're going to look there in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sin. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us His Spirit. We have seen and testified that God has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one that does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. The other day I was sitting there eating with my family, my girls, and Jessica was out and away from us. She was out with her mother over there in Tallahassee. And while we were eating, I was sitting there speaking, and all of a sudden, as I took bite into my cornbread, I don't know if you've ever breathed while eating cornbread, but things don't go quite right. Have y'all ever noticed that? And so anyways, as I kind of took a bite, I don't know how this all kind of transpired, but the reality was, as I took a bite in my cornbread, I took a breath in. Well, all of a sudden, there was that moment. And I don't know if you've ever lost your breath where there's nothing. It seems like you just can't catch your breath. But at that moment where I ate into that, I took a bite in that cornbread, and all of a sudden I choked down. There was nothing. And I was sitting there, and for the moment I'm trying to catch enough breath to try to bring up, you know, the cornbread there. And so I started to cough. And when I did that first gasp of air, that first moment, it was as though it took everything in my might to try to get that first breath. And I thought to myself, in light and lieu of that fact, you know how important a breath is? Amen. I mean, when you're lacking the breath, I want to say to you that is important to you. I remember one particular time we was out swimming one particular time, and we went to the springs, and me and my buddies it was enjoying a moment of skip day, not recommended from your pastor. I'm just telling the story. But anyways, as we was enjoying that moment, we took and went out to the springs, and as we was there at the springs and was playing and so forth, somebody got up on the high dive, and we look across the river and across the way was another spring. Well, guess what? All the friends that we had that were of the opposite sex was on the other side of the river. So with that being said, we thought to ourselves, we're at the wrong spring. We need to go across the river. And so we did. Well, jumping in and floating downriver was not a problem. I could float downriver or swim downriver. That was not an issue. We got there and we played, had a good time. And all of a sudden, one of my friends that was with me, he says, "Listen, we got to get back." He goes, when you jump in, we're going to have a rope swing there to the river. He goes, "When you jump in," he goes, "you just simply jump in and go across the river there to the other side and get out on the bank and walk back up there, and we'll meet you up there. Me and this other guy, we're going to swim it back." Well, anybody that knows me understands that my pride was not going to allow that to happen. No. So I thought to myself, well, if they can swim upriver back to where we were at, I can definitely swim upriver back to where. Well, as it turns out, I took and done me a little somersault thing off of the rope swing, got out there in the middle of the river, and in the midst of going back up to where I was at, all of a sudden, I found out I couldn't do it. Well, that's not a good thing. We're in the Suwannee River. You see, the current is pushing me back the other way, and I'm in the middle, and I think to myself, "Self, you are in deep trouble." Anybody ever tried to swim out of a situation like that? Have you? Have your arms ever got so jellied, you know, that you think to yourself, I don't know that I can get this arm to go, you know, and all of a sudden I start bobbing. And finally, when I come up off of that bob, I finally holler to the woman, "I can't do it." Y'all, this was talking about a pride moment. Those girls are looking at me bobbing up and down, back down the river, going back towards them. And all of a sudden, one of my buddies reaches up there and grabs me under my arms, and I kind of just go limp because that was all I could do. And he then took me to the other side. I don't know if you've ever been in these type of moments. Some of you say, well, I ain't got as much pride as you, evidently, Brother Preston. No, I think some of us have probably been in these situations before. But whenever you come to a place where you lose your breath and you're looking for the next breath, I want to say to you, you come to a place of desperation. I want to ask you this. Have you ever been desperate for God as much as you've been as desperate for the next breath? Have you ever desired the will of God in your life as much as you desire to breathe? I believe that where we need to come in our concept of thinking as believers, we need to come to a place where what we do is we desire to be so much in Christ, so used of God, that we would desire that more than we would desire the next breath. As we look to the scripture, what we begin to see is as we think about the knowability of God, God reveals to us through His scripture, He reveals to us the reality that He is love. And when you go to define the concept of love, I think oftentimes you want to define that love, and you kind of, no matter where you're at in your love life, whether through friendship, whether through a relationship with your mother or your father or your grandparents or whatever, you kind of defining this concept of love somewhat bounced off the reality that our God is love. But you know, the lost world don't get that concept. That God is love. They don't understand what that truly means and what that's all about. They don't understand how the depth of that and the gravity of that, how deep the love of God goes. Do you know that our God so loved us? He so loved us that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to say to you that as you ponder in that in your head, as you begin to processing moment of that, think about what He gave. He gave Himself to you. He gave you a way of escape. He gave you an opportunity. And so as we think in light of the fact that He has given of Himself to us, we begin to understand what love could possibly be. But again, not bounced off of our concept of love, but again, as to who God is. Do you know that not everybody in this congregation had an experience of a loving father or a loving mother? Some didn't get to experience that in this group. In fact, when you think about this concept of father, the truth is you have a jaded view of what that is. You can't even comprehend what that concept might be unless you take it another level and go again to the fact that you understand the Abba Father moment, the crying out to the God, the Heavenly Father. And so what we have here is this concept of the deeper we know about the love of God, I believe the deeper we can love others. Because we're referencing it not off of our experience, but off the truthfulness of God. Are you comprehending where I'm at with this statement so far? Are you with me? Amen? And so as we think more about the depth and the breadth of God's love, do you know, He says that He loves us so much. You know, there are some people who are in this group here today that they feel abandoned. The truth is that they feel rejected. But do you know that God says that when you come into the household of God, that He has a grip on you in such a way that nothing will ever separate you from you and Him? The Bible teaches neither death, right? Nor the depths, nor the heights, nor any other thing can separate you from the love of God. And so again, as we go to defining the concept of how we can love, we need to define it according to that of how great of a love our God is and how much He has demonstrated that love towards you and I. We look and we notice, beloved, let us love one another. Again, I want to say to you, I don't think that we truly can fulfill this command of loving one another until we understand this concept. For love is from God. When we understand the concept that God is love and that this love for love is from God, it is a gift that God has given to each and every one of us. When we begin to understand this, I believe that we come to a place where we can understand a little deeper that love for others. Because the Bible says, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. I want to say in verse 7 here, it kind of sets the stage, the precedence of the rest of the scripture as we continue this thought. What we see is that this concept of being born again in God, to understand what it means to be a part of the family of God, to catch on the reality that we're joint heirs with Jesus the Christ, to pick all of this up and then to begin to study the Word of God and to begin to search out the Scriptures in such a way that we understand the knowledge of God even deeper and deeper as days go on. See, I want to say to you, you may say, Brother Preston, sometimes you come up here and you harp on the reality of devotional life and spiritual formation, and you speak about that, and you push people to do that, and some of you may think maybe you think it looks good on my statistics, right? To come to Sunday school. No. Maybe it looks good on the book. I want to say to you, it's not about that. It's about you and your relationship with God to pick up the fact that He loves you. And as He loves you, you'll begin to express that love back towards Him. It is not a type of love that is messed up how this society has messed up love. It is a pure, perfect love that is pure and perfect in every way. And you'll begin to understand the deepest concept of what love is all about through this. The Bible teaches us, verse 8, the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. I want to say to you, Miss Marianne, that I've come to the place that I just accept the Scriptures for what it says. We want to bring commentary and other people's thoughts and so forth. But sometimes you just got to look at it for what it truly says. The Bible teaches us, if we're truly to understand the concept of pure, unadulterated love, then we need to know God. In and through that relationship, we'll begin to deal with others like you have never experienced before. The more you begin to know God, His character, the very essence of who He is, I believe the deeper your love for others will be. Not only will you know how to express that love towards Him, but you will begin to learn how to express that love towards others. Verse 9 says, and this, the love of God, was manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into this world so that we might live through Him. Again, as I think about knowing God, that is to say, to have a knowledge of God, I think it goes further. I think at the moment of there are people who can know all about God and not know who He is. And I'm talking about a personal relationship. I'm talking about an intimacy with the Lord. So what am I saying to you? This is what I want to make sure that I convey. I want you to know that you can know about God, and then you can begin to know God. That is in an intimate, personal relationship with Him. And how can you do that but to be born again? That is to say, to crucify your flesh, to crucify who you are, and to become new in the Lord Jesus Christ. To take on this new persona, this new concept, to do away with your old self and become new. I want to say to you what it is a renewed thinking. You used to think your thinking at one time was stinking thinking. You now are wanting to embrace a new reality. How do we do that? Again, by studying God's Word, by allowing the directive of the Holy Spirit to direct your thinking, to begin to become renewed in the Spirit of Christ. How can we do that? Again, by renewing our minds, as Romans 12:2 teaches us, to become new in the Lord, to be born again. So again, not only to know about God, but to embrace Him for who He truly is and to accept Him as Lord and Savior. Verse 10 goes on to say, "In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins." See, He was the ultimate price for sin. He was what was going to satisfy God the Father. That is the blood of Jesus Christ. I want you to know that He was the payment for you and I. We've been bought with the price. We've been redeemed by the blood. And so with that concept in our mind and our heart, I want you to understand that this love was not something that just happened to be, but rather, again, it was given freely by God the Heavenly Father. He embraces a relationship with you. Isn't that wonderful? I want to say to you, Beth Moore, I heard her speak one time in one of her series. She said this. She said, and see, now she speaks to women. So women are oftentimes built towards emotions, you know, and working off emotions. But I want to say this is a related truth that I believe it fits everybody, and that is this. She says that we are designed by God to want relationship. We're designed by God to want relationship. You know what I found? I found that even people who are mentally ill to the point of being in a mental institution, I found that these particular people want to be touched. I found this to be truth. My mother worked for the mental institution there in McClenny. I've been there and many a time, been around those that were there, and I found this to be true. They want to hug you. They want to touch you. And you say, well, why is that? Because a touch is a form of acceptance. A touch says that I'm okay with whatever you may have going on. A touch is a form of acceptance. It's a moment of almost embrace. I want to share with you a story that I shared with my brother Everett there. He and I were together, and I was sharing with him about a moment that I had where I was with a dear saint in Christ. And we came into a situation where this lady was in the hospital there in the nursing home, and the truth was, she physically didn't look appealing, there were medical reasons for that. And so with that being said, I came into the scene, and as I walked in, I'll be truthful with you. If I was honest with myself, the fact was I was kind of thinking, I don't want to, you know, hug or embrace what's going on here. And I noticed this dear saint, she walked up, her face was a little scaly, and her skin was peeling up a little bit. And she looked at her, and she goes, baby. She walks up and she hugs her, and she grabs her by the face, and she kisses her on the forehead. She goes, baby, your hair don't look too good. She goes, well, you don't mind me combing it? She goes, no. And so she began to comb her hair. And she looked at her, and she goes, you need a little bit of that moisturizer, don't you? And so she takes moisturizer, and she starts to rub on this lady and so forth. And what I found was this. In the midst of all of that, without going too far into that story, I want to say to you that modeled in front of me was a heart of compassion that can only come from a loving relationship with a God who would love like this. Friends, I want to say to you, as a makeup of a church, we do a lot of things, I believe, right. But I also believe that you and I could do better, couldn't we? We could do better. What does it mean to truly love like God loves? To have compassion like God has compassion? As I say these things to you, we're going on, and what we begin to see is that in this that we love, as again, he says we ought to love one another. Why? Because God, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has seen God, verse 12. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. And in fact, God says this. He says, how will they know that you're my disciples? For those that remember, it's for your love for one another. Your love. You see, we abide in God, but how can we know that this relationship is real as far as the world is concerned? Because they're able to look in and see something different here. They're picking up something that is unique. It's beyond what they have experienced in this world. You see, friends, I want to say to you, the world has enough of the world out there. Well, are you with me? And a lot of times I think that churches want to look so much like the world to try to attract people. But if you want real attraction, be different than the world. Look different than the world. The world is looking for love. The world is looking for this genuineness, this relationship where it's different. There's a truthfulness that happens. Do you know we live in a world of lies? That's what we're a part of. I'm not talking about in this church. I'm talking about in this world. We live in a world of lies. Matter of fact, God's Word, same scriptures here as we think about this guy named John. I want to say to you that this guy John says this. He says, if you're a part of the world and you say you're of God, he says, you're a liar. You're a liar. Basically, the truth ain't in you. Well, I want to tell you, what is truth? God is truth. Amen. God is truth, and we want the truthfulness in us. And so as we're part of that truth, we're going to live in a way that is different. What we begin to do is we understand what God is beginning to work in us. It's perfected in us. Verse 13 says, "And this we know, that if we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us His Spirit." Process this for a moment. How can we abide and be of God and do the love that is truly perfected that God wants us to do? We're going to do it by the power of God Himself. Anybody with me, Chad? I mean, are you not just wanting to just stand up and go, hallelujah? I mean, just shout it from the rooftop. I want you to know, some of you, there are people that are not lovable. Have you met any? Right? There are people that are not lovable. They're not easy to get along with. And so you're wondering, how can I do this? How can I do it? By the power of God. Process this thought. By the power of God. I want you to know that in Christ Jesus, I can do anything. Anybody with me? Paul puts it this way in Philippians, you remember in chapter 4. He goes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He said, I've learned to be happy in the riches. I've been poor as poor can be. I've been beaten. I've been shipwrecked. I've done all this stuff. But through Christ, I can be more than a conqueror through Christ. See, I want to say to you, believer, many of us are traveling this road, this journey, this pilgrimage, and we think we have been abandoned. We think that we've been alone. Have you ever been distressed? Yeah. I'm talking about in real pain, right? And you feel like, God, I'm praying, where is God? Where is God? You know? And I want to say, in the midst of it all, God's still there. He still cares and He still will be with you. As we think on, I want to share with you that He gives us the Spirit to help us through. Verse 14, we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Think about that. But whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. I want you to catch hold to this concept of abiding in God and God in you. I want you to understand that, you know, where does my help come from? Anybody asked that question before? Amen? Amen? I want to say to you, we sometimes come to a place of desperation. We're wanting to know, where does our hope come from? It comes from the Lord. Anybody with me? It comes from the Lord. And I want you to know that as you abide in the truthfulness of God, God will give you the strength you need. He will help you. And you say, Brother Preston, how does this, have you ever noticed when things seem to be going all right in your life? When you're able to have that melody in your heart like the scripture teaches us, and you're singing those praises and so, have you ever noticed when everything seems to be just going perfect in your life, you don't have no friction with others? But have you ever noticed when things aren't quite right? All of a sudden, everybody's got the issue. When in reality, sometimes, now this ain't every time, sometimes you need to look in the mirror. That ain't every time. Sometimes it really is, whatever the circumstance is, whatever the situation is. So I don't want you to feel like I'm beating you down. But at the same time, there are times where we need to reflect on who we are and what we're doing. As we continue this journey, I want to go on and share with you, whoever confesses Jesus as Son of God and God abides in him, verse 15, as we're going on, and he and God, verse 16 says, we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and a God abides in him. Verse 17, by this, love is perfected. Again, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in this day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. Do you know that once you are born again in Christ Jesus, are you following this? That we want you to understand that at the moment of judgment, do you understand that God the Heavenly Father sees the blood of Jesus Christ? Are you with me so far? The Bible teaches it this way. It says that your sins, as you confess them, are far removed, as far as the east is from the west. Amen? Aren't you grateful for this? I can tell you that as I look at the testimony of John, as he is preaching and teaching this to us, even here today, I want to say to you that the more I understand the gravity of God's love, the more I realize how much I love him. And how it ought to be expressed. Again, there is no fear in love. For the perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. But verse 19 says this, we love. How come? Because he first loved us. Aren't you grateful we, again, serve a God of love? You know, I think about so many times at how people want to respond to a verse like this and say, well, if God is love, then how does punishment come involved? I want to tell you, I'm so grateful that our God is a just God. First of all, I'd like to say this. I'm grateful that there is a God, and I'm grateful none of you are him. Amen? I'd be a little nervous about how you would handle it. But I'm grateful there is a God. And I'm grateful that he is a just God. He is perfect and he's pure in every way. And as we continue this, I want you to know that the only way we can truly understand the true concept of love is because he first loved us. Verse 20 says, if someone says, I love God, and watch how this works. If they say, I love God and hates his brother, I don't know how much of a stronger language you could use. John says it this way, you hate your brother. He says, you are a liar. Wow, friends, a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. As we come to a closing in this message, I want to ask you, do you have trouble in this area? Are you struggling with a little bit of hatred in your heart? You know, oftentimes I've heard people say this to me. Oftentimes I've heard people say, I don't know if I hate them. Or, I really do hate them. I want to say to you, listen to what I'm saying to you. I hope you're hearing me. I've dealt with different people that have had these strong feelings towards all the way towards the thought of hatred. I want to say to you, the Bible teaches us we can be angry. You know, that's something we can do. We can be angry and sin not. We can do that. But according to the Word of God, we can't hate. You're a believer in Christ Jesus. The Bible teaches against that. You know what's amazing to me? Sometimes we have hatred towards our own family members. It happens. God teaches us that we're going to have to deal with hate. I don't know that I, myself, have ever come to a place of just pure hatred. Now, I had one fella that I strongly disliked. Strong. As a matter of fact, today, I don't believe we're going to eat a steak dinner together. But my mama shared a story about how she had a hatred. Turns out that hatred, according to her, started to eat at her stomach lining in the way of ulcers. Started causing her physical pain. She said that every time the preaching of the Word of God would happen, all she could go back to is think about the hatred that she had for this person. She said, I never had a freedom to truly enjoy the presence of God, because every time I'd hear the preaching, the conviction of hatred would be so hard on my heart that I just would stir that in my heart. And I would confess it to the Lord. He knew that I had hatred. And she said, I wouldn't lie to him. And I'd come to the altar, and she said, I prayed about it. You know one of them prayers? See, anybody ever been there? I prayed about it. I prayed, God, help me with this hatred. Help me with this hatred. She goes, but the truth was, when I got up, I was no different. I would walk back and there would be another moment, another encounter, whatever the case is. And that hatred would stir and stir and stir. She said, I literally could feel it draining me to the point of killing me. It was killing me, the hatred. But she shared about a moment where these two, the one that she had problems with, happened to go and was on a hospital elevator. She walked on. And when she turned around to touch the button, that person came onto the elevator with her. She said she took and hit the button to open the door. She was trying to get off the elevator. She said she don't know what happened, but about midway, she said, that elevator locked up. I had never had that happen. And I'll be honest with you, I hope to God that it never does. She goes, but that elevator locked up on them. And she goes, and there they sit looking at each other. The only two on the elevator was this and this woman that my mother hated. She said she sat there, and she said more that she sat there, the more it was eating at her. But she had just prayed at the altar that God would deal with it. Now for her, I'm not saying this is everybody, but for her, evidently God wanted her to confront it. She did. What she found out was that not everything that she had perceived was a truth. Not everything was a truth. And she says that she went on and she began to deal with that person, and they ended up trying to reconcile the situation and the relationship. But let me go on and say this to you. I don't believe that my mama will be eating a steak dinner with her today either. Don't know what I mean. But I want to ask you though, what about your heart? Do you have an issue? God teaches us that we should love. I'd like to say, how much more so in the household of faith? Only you and God truly know what's going on in your heart. You claim to be a believer and have hatred. Bible says you're a liar. I want to say to you, break free today. Open yourself up for God to move in a mighty way. What is He telling you to do? Won't you respond? Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you again for your message. We trust that you would help us to respond faithfully to it. Lord God, I come to you twofold. Father, I come to you that if somebody here comes to a recognition and a realization that they don't know you as Savior and Lord, that they've never been born again, I pray that today would be the day of salvation, God. May you draw that heart to yourself. God, through the preaching of your word, through the simplicity of this message, God, if someone has any hate in their heart, anything that is an unconfessed sin, God, I pray that they would confess it to you. Whether they come to the altar and bow before you, or whether they do it at their seat, God, whatever you see fit, however you see fit, may your Spirit lead. God, for those of us that know about family members, friends, and different ones that struggle with this this thought of hatred, Lord. God, I pray that they would see the reality of truth, that you are a God of love and that you love us. So may we embrace that love, God, and may you give us the strength to love others. We trust you in this matter. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen.